Okay, let's start with a prayer. We thank you, Father God, for your presence here today. We thank you for your word, which is living and active and so relevant to our lives today. And I just pray, Lord, that if there's anything that I have prepared that is of the flesh and not of you, that it will not be said, it will fade away and not spoken out. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're at the River Jordan. Imagine the scene. And there's John the Baptist who is doing the baptism of repentance. And the sole reason for the ministry of John the Baptist was to prepare the way of the Lord, which is prophesied in Isaiah 40. That was his sole purpose, to point people to Jesus, and for them to have that baptism of repentance, so that the repentance means that they turned away from their sins, so that they were ready to welcome Jesus. And for us today, we do that every day. It's really important for us to go before God in repentance so that we make way for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And repentance is something that I just sensed God was saying to me a few months ago that I wasn't doing enough of. And I actually did a talk on it, which is on our website if you want to listen more about that. Basically, how can God work in our heart when it's full of gunk? So we need to go before God daily. Anyway, and so John the Baptist turns to his disciples, not Jesus' disciples at this stage, and says, look, oh, hang on. Now I've missed a paragraph. At the Jordan, the people there would have seen John baptize Jesus and heard the voice of God saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased, and see the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in the form of a dove. And then John the Baptist turns to his disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, and said, look, here he is. He's the one that I've been telling you about. Here is the Lamb of God. Here is God's Passover lamb, as it says in the message. He is pointing to Jesus so that they could start their relationship with Jesus. And John, at that stage, had to let them go. He had to let them go. And his work with them was finished. He had pointed the way to Jesus all along. And and we, though all people that are involved in ministry in our church, and church leaders and things like that, the sole purpose is for us to point the way of Jesus. Everything that we do is to point the way to Jesus. And it's not just coming on it's very important for us also to take on the responsibility of having a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not about turning up on a Sunday morning and listening to the sermon, and sometimes we don't get it right, well certainly I don't, and to take that away thinking, right, I'm done and dusted for the week. It's really important for us to daily go before him through prayer, through reading the Bible, through going out in his creation. God often speaks to me through creation, and just chatting to him. I often chat away, maybe I'm talking to myself, but I, you know, talk to him as well. So, and in this passage, Jesus turns to Andrew and the Apostle John, who are following him at this stage. And he asks, what do you want? What are you looking for? And I'm going to stop there because I want you to close your eyes and imagine standing before Jesus. And he asks you, what do you want? What are you looking for? And just have a moment to have a little conversation with Jesus. What are you looking for from him? So, if you'd like to come back, you can open your eyes if you want. Keep them closed if you like. So the people in the first century Israel would have had expectations of their Messiah. They were expecting a warrior king. I mean, we're celebrating Epiphany at the moment, so the Magi obviously went straight to the palace. They weren't expecting the king to be born in this humble little stable. Maybe they were looking for somebody to conquer the oppression of the Roman occupation. And maybe they were expecting someone to release them from political and economic oppression. Not this humble little rabbi who, with a dove flapping around him and mixing with sinners and the outcasts of society. And as his ministry goes on, the disciples, they would have probably expected to live him to live forever. And they were there, they felt they had to protect him, didn't they, throughout his ministry. But of course, after 3 years, and his ministry was only for 3 years, and their expectations when he died must have been absolutely shattered. But of course, God knows what he's doing. He knows best. And his plans are perfect. And if it hadn't have happened the way it happened, it would be history would have been rewritten. We probably wouldn't be sitting here now. Who knows? Who knows? But God knows best and he knows the rest. And sometimes our expectations are not met in situations that can be painful or confusing. And sometimes we don't know the answer as to why it's happening this side of heaven. And that's where our faith comes in. And today I'm going to be talking about expectations. And I've got a little testimony. I'm just going to switch my recording off for a moment. Okay. So, and in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. And my goodness, did I cry a lot about this. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my foot on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Jesus is our rock. And he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise for our God. And that's exactly what he did. I'm okay with it. It's not perfect, but, we can't have perfect lives, can we? Life isn't like that. And sometimes maybe our expectations of others, of expectations are unrealistic. And I'm going to speak today of expectations of others, of ourselves and of God. And in Psalm 40, verse 4, it says, "Blessed is the one who makes the Lord their trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods." And I have a question. Could our personal expectations be false gods? Could our personal expectations of ourselves, of others, of God, be false gods? So let's look at expectations of others. Well, we all know, because it's been announced, that Kirsty is coming to us in a few weeks' time. Now, if I went round the room and asked you, each of you, what your expectations of her are, you'd probably say something different. And I asked this at the 9 o'clock as well. And so, say altogether with 40 of us, that's 40 different expectations on one person. That's a lot for one person to hold. And so what I suggest, and I need to do this, before she comes, Reverend Kirsty, to give our expectations to God and ask him what he thinks. To say, what do you think about this, Lord? Because they could be unrealistic expectations. And when we put unrealistic expectations on people, that's when relationships start to fracture. It's a massive pressure for her. And so maybe that's what we do, to align our expectations up with God. And what do you think, Lord? And sometimes, I'm going to throw this in, sometimes others have expectations on us. And we need to say no sometimes, and that can be very painful. And if somebody's putting an expectation on us which is not God's plan, and we know it's not God's plan, it's not right that we enter into that. Otherwise, we end up doing things that are not of God. And God's expectations of us. We read at the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to each and every one of us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And it really links into what Nicola was saying earlier, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded, that Jesus has commanded us. And surely I'm with us always. We don't have to do it on our own. Jesus is always with us. Okay, what about expectations of ourselves? I know, I don't know about you, but sometimes my expectations are up here of myself. And actually, they're very unrealistic sometimes. And when we don't reach up here, we get frustrated. We get narky, we get critical, we lose our joy. But when it's not about lowering our expectations, it's shifting the focus and giving them to God and asking him what our expectations should be, where we should be with him. Otherwise, we end up moaning a lot, and we don't want to be perceived as people that moan a lot. And our expectations of God. Do we start every day expecting to hear from him, expecting to see him work in our everyday lives? Do we expect to notice him as we go about our day? Do we expect him to work miracles in a situation we find difficult? He can. And in the song, Thank You, Jonathan, there you are, for the song, you know, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. We sang that. Do we believe it? Do we claim it in our lives, you know, over situations that we find difficult, over pain, over suffering? Do we claim that he is our Waymaker? He is our miracle worker. He is our Promise Keeper. Do we expect him to heal our ailments? He can. And I've got another testimony, actually. A few years ago, I had quite severe... I haven't got lymph nodes here because of cancer treatment. And for the first few years I had lots of problems with my arm. I got lymphedema and things. And I couldn't clap. And I remember going to... if I clapped, it was like shooting pains right the way up my arm. It was absolute agony. And I went to New Wine one year, and I took my little camper, and somebody helped me put up the awning. And after I put up this awning, my arm was just caning. It was really, really painful. And that evening, we had at the service, at the evening celebration, they had a call for healing. So I went forward because my arm was absolute agony. And I was healed and the pain went. And I thought, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Great. And a few days went by. And then about 2 days later, it came back again. And I thought, I'm going to claim this healing in the name of Jesus Christ. This is, I am healed in the name of Jesus. I'm washed with the blood of Jesus. My arm is healed in the name of Jesus of Christ. And it went again. It was claiming that healing because I could have said, oh no, it's hurting again. Oh no, oh, it hurts. Oh, shall I go for prayer again? But it's all about claiming it in the name of Jesus. He is our way maker. He is our miracle worker. He is our promise keeper. And you know, I can clap. And I tell you what, I didn't realise how much I clapped until I couldn't clap. And I love it. You know, if God does something, I clap. Maybe it's a bit immature, but that's what I do. And actually, you know, can he heal our ailments? Yes. And sometimes I have conversations with people, and I know people are, you know, have pains and aches and pains. But when we talk about it all the time, we talk our way into ill health. And actually, when we, you know, if you say, yeah, okay, I'm struggling a bit with this, but actually, I managed to get up and come to church this morning. I managed to digest my breakfast or whatever it is, the little things that we can be thankful for, and being thankful for the things that we can do, not talking our way into which hospital appointments and things. I mean, it's good to share these things, but sometimes I'm not mentioning names, but there are people that just talk incessantly about their poor health. And I think sometimes, and when you're in a difficult situation, it is hard, but we need to look to God through it all and to give those ailments to him and pray for, claim that healing. Do we expect to heal a broken family relationship? He can. And it's about praying in faith that he can heal our brokenness and our aches and pains and the brokenness of others. And he can bring healing into the most unlikely situations. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't notice it. And sometimes it's really good to pray, Lord, will you show me what you're doing in this situation? That's a good prayer. What are you doing in this? Because sometimes we don't notice it. Do we believe he will bring revival? Who prays for revival? We have to claim it. We have to believe it's going to happen. And if it happens, when, not if, when it happens, we will need every nook and cranny in this benefice. We will need that church down the road that stands empty. We will need the sports and social club for all the young people. We will need that space over the road for maybe the toddler group. We will need every nook and cranny. Let's claim it. Let's believe it that God can do that. It's his timing. Let's expect God to work in the most extraordinary way because that's what he does. And when we come to church, do we expect to meet with him? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always with us. You are always watching over us. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty King of Israel. And we worship you and we thank you that for your presence here this morning. And Lord, we want to see the heavens open over this church, this benefice. We want the heavens to open over Mattershall and surrounding villages. We claim it in the name of Jesus. We want the heavens to open over Dereham. We want the heavens to open over Breckland. We want the heavens to open over Norwich and all the nooks and crannies of this amazing county. We want to see your heavens open over our nation, Lord. Lord, help us to pray in faith and claim those things into being. Help us to be bold as we speak of you in our everyday lives. Help us to say to people, as Nicola did, why we believe in you. And not just be a kind little group of people. We want to be passionate about you, Lord. And to speak about why we're here this morning. And in Psalm 40, verse 8, it says, we desire to do your will, O my God. May your law be written within our hearts. May your law be written within our hearts, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.